Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Hillary Clinton may yet make history as the first woman president of the United States, but right now the polls are leaning toward the first African-American male. On the campaign trail, Clinton has handled tough questions on Iraq, healthcare, war, the economy. She's also taken heat for her laugh, her cleavage, her tears, for sounding too cool, too tough. So is Obama just too good, Hillary too flawed? Could it be that the country is still just not ready for a woman in the White House, or not ready for this woman? This hour, On Point, we're talking about gender and the Clinton campaign. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Geraldine Ferraro and by former Colorado Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, who considered a run for the White House in 1988. But first, two powerhouse columnists watching the campaign unfold from Boston, Ellen Goodman, syndicated columnist for the Boston Globe. Ellen, very good to have you.
Thanks, Tom. Nice to be here.
And from New York, Katha Pollitt, columnist for The Nation magazine. Katha Pollitt, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Let's put it to you. I mean, this is not a concession hour. Hillary is out there fighting every day, every minute for this nomination, but a lot of wise guys are now saying the numbers are going to be pretty tough to make add up. And we're sitting back to look at what role gender has played and even, heaven forfend, sexism. Ellen, when you look out on this whole long, long season and the woman who started so high and now is struggling to, you know, stay at the top of the pile or get back there, how do you read the sexual politics? Are they what mattered this year? Do you see gender as having been key? Are Americans ready for a woman in the White House? How do you read it, Ellen?
Well, I think there's a lot of reason to have a debate about whether the Americans aren't ready for a woman or ready for this woman. But I think the one thing that we certainly have seen all the way through this campaign is a kind of undertone of what we used to and still can call sexism. I mean, there's been just a kind of low-level rumble and often high-level screed against her, as you mentioned in the opening, Tom. You know, her cackle, her cleavage, her, you know, there's stuff out there that's really quite ghastly. I mean, that makes even a lot of people, that voters that I have talked to, who maybe even voting for Obama, are still very much aware of what she's had to go through to be, you know, twice as good, and then to have, you remember that the pair of voters in New Hampshire who, you know, said, "Do my ironing," you know, that kind of thing. There's the horrible anti-Hillary nutcracker, I kid you not, that's been marketed. I mean, there's all this stuff out there, and that is very disheartening to a lot of women, whatever they specifically feel about Hillary. And I think there's also some really genuine feeling that here's the woman who kind of checked off all the boxes, who did what women are told to do. They have to be twice as experienced. They have to be twice as tough. They have to prove that they can be a commander-in-chief above all to become president of the United States, and she checked off all of these boxes, and then the rules changed. Instead of experience, we want hope. You know, this is a time for change. The commander-in-chief thing even worked against her, particularly over the Iraq war position. So those things, I think, have been tough to watch.
A lot of cheers along the way, but also some zingers in there. Let's remember, here's Rush Limbaugh wondering if America wants to watch a president, a woman president, age in office.
Will Americans want to watch a woman get older before their eyes on a daily basis? And that woman, by the way, is not going to want to look like she's getting older. Because it'll impact poll numbers. It'll impact perceptions.
Holy smokes. We watched George Bush go gray. We watched Bill Clinton go white. I mean, everybody gets older, and presidents aren't meant to be kids. Katha Pollitt, you've carried the feminist flag for many years, but here you are in Barack Obama's camp. We'll hear from Ferraro and Schroeder. They're both there for Hillary Clinton. What's put you standing where you are, and Is sexism working in here, and did it affect your decision? I don't talk to us, Katha.
Well, I've written many pieces about the sexist onslaught against Hillary Clinton, which I think is really shocking, just really shocking. You know, here's something that listeners can do at home is just pick an anti-woman insult like Ice Queen, Madame Defarge, Lady Macbeth, Feminazi, and all the dirty ones too.
Yep.
Put it into a search engine in your computer and you will find hundreds of thousands of hits linking – put that with Hillary Clinton and you will find – have hundreds of thousands of hits. And these are not all from nuts on the internet, but they're from people like Chris Matthews, you know, Rush Limbaugh, and Don Imus, who calls her, you know, Bill Clinton's fat, ugly wife, Satan, you know, et cetera,
Satan,
et cetera.
Okay.
Satan, you know. And Chris Matthews apologized for one of his, you know, dozens of insults against Hillary Clinton, but when he said that, you know, she got elected to the Senate because Bill Clinton, her husband, messed around.
Right.
But he didn't apologize for calling her Madame Defarge. So anyway, I just think this stuff is so disgusting, so horrible. I mean, how did our media come to be controlled by these aging frat boys, you know, who are on the radio because nobody wants to watch them age in office either. They're not so cute.
Yeah, we can look at the media, but, fair enough. But yeah. On the other hand,
yeah.
Look how far she has come. I mean, millions and millions of Americans have embraced her.
Absolutely.
As
well,
their candidate. Does that mean – never mind the media for a minute, but is the country over it? Or is there still some kind of subterranean resistance to the idea of a woman as president that leads the country to reach out – you know, for Barack Obama or for John McCain or you name it?
I think we don't know the answer to that yet, but certainly in a close election, that sexism would influence some people. I mean, I know people, I know women who will say things like, I will never vote for her. They're Democrats. They're feminists. They will never vote for her. And if you say, well, why is that? You get the weirdest answers. For example, one of my old classmates said, she's elitist. And I'm thinking, well, let's see. We both went to Radcliffe. You know, we both live in nice apartments.
Right,
you know,
right.
None of us are there working in a light bulb factory. But Hillary Clinton is too elitist. What do you mean by that? And, you know, Peggy Noonan, she's cold and ambitious. Well, you know, is Peggy Noonan working as a nurse in, an orphanage? I mean.
We don't think so.
Well, exactly. So I think that there is something that women, you know, both men and women are feel deeply threatened in their gender identity by a woman who is frankly ambitious, who is not spending her entire life giving them a great big maternal hug. But, you know, just to get onto the other piece of it.
Yeah.
After one has said all that and has, in my case, written, you know, five or six pieces all documenting these phenomena, you do have to look at the candidates, their policies, and their records, and also, how they're doing in the campaign. And for me, Hillary Clinton's vote authorizing the war in Vietnam, authorizing the Bush
you
to
mean
go to war,
Iraq?
Sorry. Well, this dates me, doesn't it? I'm really dating.
Talk about
yeah, really. Iraq, and then followed up by her, you know, her vote on the Kyle Lieberman bill declaring the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization.
Yep,
and you're
yep.
saying, how could you do it again? Anyway, to me, that's really important. We have been involved in this war that has gone on for as long as World War II, that is completely draining our country of any of real ability to do the kinds of things Democratic candidates say they want to do. And you got to look at that at a certain point.
And
I give Obama points for being against the war from the start.
That leaves you in the Obama camp. Ellen Goodman, is it – wow, so many ways to slice this. But is it in the end that Hillary's candidacy was trumped? Her candidacy, historic candidacy as a woman, was trumped by a more historic candidacy by an African-American man, or trumped by a better politician or a better rhetorician or – what about that dynamic?
Well, yeah, choose one from column A, column B. But let's remember, it isn't over yet.
Absolutely,
you're doing a postmortem. But and I tend to agree that she can't pull it out at this point. But I suspect that both Jerry and Pat will disagree with that. But there are many pieces of it. He's run a superb campaign. He's a fabulous candidate as well. And there is also Clinton fatigue. There is also that her husband didn't, you know, it's just like the old free to be you and me record. Some kind of help is the kind of help that you can do without, you know.
Yes.
So there are, there's a book out, 30 Ways to Look at Hillary. Mm-hmm. There are going to be 300 ways to look at how this campaign came down the way it is. I also do believe that she's just been compared to women all along. I mean, it is the classic example of the double bind, that if you are strong, you can't be feminine. If you are feminine, you can't be strong.
You write that she chose strong in a period of war and security threat, and then got trumped by Barack Obama with a kind of feminine touch within his way.
One of the things that has been fascinating to watch is the way in which she had to, I believe, present herself as the strong commander-in-chief, the tough guy in the race. And yet he had what was kind of the second generation of voices that we think of as women's way of leading, which was a softer, kinder, gentler, more collaborative voice.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about gender and the Clinton campaign, asking if sexism has been a significant factor in the 08 race. What do you think? Is this country still not ready for a woman president, or are Hillary's troubles of her own making? Will this country get over race before it gets over gender when it comes to the presidency? Have you seen sexism in the 08 campaign? Has Hillary Clinton had a fair shot at the Oval Office? A little later in this hour, we'll be joined by Geraldine Ferraro, who, of course, was Walter Mondale's running mate in 1984. We've been joined by Ellen Goodman, columnist for the Boston Globe, Katha Pollitt, columnist for The Nation, her latest book, Learning to Drive, and other life stories. Right now, joining us from Washington, Pat Schroeder. She served 24 years as Democratic Congresswoman from Colorado and left office in 1996. She looked very hard at a run for the 1988 Democratic presidential nomination. Michael Dukakis was the eventual nominee, of course, losing to George H.W. Bush. She is now president and CEO of the American Association of American Publishers. It's a national trade organization for the U.S. publishing industry. She's supporting Hillary Clinton for president. Pat Schroeder, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours. You know all about gender and political campaigning. It was no small factor at the end of your sort of toe dip for the presidency. You've been supporting Hillary and watching this race. Has gender been a big issue? Has sexism been an issue, Pat Schroeder?
Oh, yes. I think it's been a huge issue. And I think it's much harder to monitor now because it's a lot more covert than when I looked at running. When I looked at running, journalists would ask me questions like, why are you running as a woman? Or
what was your option?
Yeah, exactly. Or how can we have a man for first lady? And those kind of things that you just, it kind of stopped you in your tracks. And I think I had more wardrobe articles than any other thing while I was running about my hair and how I looked. But I think this one, this time around, it is a lot more covert. I think the pundits on TV sometimes have just made me crazy. You hear people saying, I don't know why, I just don't like her. I just don't like her. She just makes me unhappy or nervous or whatever. I've never heard pundits say that about a male, you know? And that type of unquantifiable thing, then I think makes the general public say, oh, you're just too sensitive, you know, you feminists have no sense of humor. What's going on? She can't take it. I think she's actually taken a whole lot. I think most of the objective analysts of the articles that have been written about her have been, a very high percentage of them have been negative.
Pat, look out beyond the pundits, and it's hard to do sometimes because it's a pretty big phalanx, but if you look out beyond them then at the American electorate, do you think Americans are ready now to put a woman in the White House? If Barack Obama had not shown up, would Hillary Clinton be, from your perspective, kind of all lined up to land on the White House lawn?
Well, I certainly hope they are, but I'm afraid we've got some problems. You know, we say President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief, Leader of the Free World, all in one sentence.
Well, do you want to add something to that? What do you mean?
Well, I think what that means is you've got this testosterone problem with this Commander-in-Chief thing that people get very upset about. A male, even if they haven't served, and we've had members, you know, we've had presidents that didn't serve in the military, still it's somehow okay if a guy hasn't served. But people get very nervous about this Commander-in-Chief thing.
Didn't Hillary make herself look tough enough? Some even say too tough.
Well, I think she did. I think that's what she was really thinking about. And when you remember the George W. Bush out riding around in his motor boat eating pork rinds and stuff.
Cigarette, you know, boat, long and sleek and powerful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's that mantis of her going out and you're playing touch football, or you're doing this contact stuff, you know, or driving around in a tank or doing something.
Well, that didn't work so well.
That didn't work too well. But it's very hard for a woman to think of anything that they can do like that. So, you know, she's been on the Armed Services Committee. She's really very, very knowledgeable about those issues. I think she can run circles about almost anybody on what's there and what's doable. But it turned out being a negative.
Ellen Goodman, you've got the historical perspective here. How do you see what's changed and what hasn't between Pat Schroeder's time of making a stab at it and Hillary Clinton's?
Well, I think probably a good deal has changed since then. I think Pat would agree, too, that things are the cup is getting a little fuller than it used to be in those things. I think what we're witnessing or feeling very intently, and a lot of Hillary supporters in particular are feeling that, whoa, we really did think that we were past that. And then it's as if all the little dark, you know, muddy creatures are coming up through the surface again at this during this campaign. And you see that women's support, particularly white women's support, but for Hillary, has held. I mean, Obama's gained a lot of that support, but she's held her support. But there has been a significant gender gap all the way through this campaign. So maybe one of the things that has changed is that for all of the conversation about it, women identify with another woman's as a leader more than men do.
And sometimes putting that in very in-your-face terms over the weekend on Saturday Night Live, there was Tina Fey, and she's kind of letting it rip, sitting next to Amy Poehler on the Weekend Update, letting it rip about what she thinks of Hillary Clinton's critics.
And maybe what bothers me the most is that people say that Hillary is a bitch. And let me say something about that. Yeah, she is. And so am I. And so is this one.
Yeah, deal with it.
You know what? Bitches get stuff done.
Katha Pollitt, make of that what you will, but there's a new attitude that says, come on, women, tough women, get stuff done.
Before Katha, if I may say, let's remember that moment in South Carolina when a Republican said to John McCain, how are you going to beat the bitch?
Let's hear it. It's right here. Let's just listen for a second.
How do we beat the bitch?
But that's an excellent question.
Says John McCain, presumptive nominee. Oh, boy.
Just imagine if somebody had said about Barack Obama, how do we beat the N-word? And he had responded, that's an excellent question.
Katha, is there a new toughness out there about this that's at the same time you may see sexism at work, you may see gender stereotypes, but I mean, the Tina Fey says, come on.
Yeah, I think women are reclaiming the B word. I have a lot of problems with that, but that's definitely happening. You know, there's a feminist magazine called Bitch that wears that label proudly. And I think, you know, people say, you know, if Hillary doesn't win, oh, that's just it. Women will get the message that they can't succeed. And I don't think that's the way social change works. I think it all goes into the pot. And just the way Geraldine Ferraro and Pat Schroeder, they pushed the ball forward, even though they didn't ultimately win, you know, their top races. And I think that that will happen with Hillary also, that people may not realize that they're becoming a little bit desensitized to the objections to a woman president. Mm. And I think also, as we see around the world, so many other countries seem to be moving ahead of us. Mm. You know, we in America, we think like we're the most, you know, liberated country in the world. It is not true, at least in politics. We are right in the middle of the pack, like in the, you know, of all the countries in the world, we're like 69 or 70 or something like that in terms of political representation of women. Mm. And there are many countries now that are not, you know, we don't think of as feminist heaven, like Germany and Chile, that have women in the top job now.
Pat Schroeder, and I know we just got you for a couple more minutes. Wow. Do you see progress? And where do you see Hillary's campaign right now? Do you think she can still pull it out?
Well, let me say, I see progress. But when I came as a new congresswoman in 1973, I asked the Library of Congress how long it would be before half of the House and Senate would be female, you know, being the new
73.
Idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And guess what they said? Over 400 years.
Now,
the point is, okay, we have more than the handful of women that were there when I came, but we're still in, you know, we're still in the teens. We're still way down there, percentage-wise, nowhere near a critical mass. I certainly hope Hillary pulls it out. It's been interesting to me that from the Iowa caucuses on, people have been saying, oh, that's it. It's over for her. Mm-hmm. And even when it was tied, they were acting like it was a landslide. So I hope she gets a little fairer shake. And I hope, you know, we've also got to figure out what we do about Michigan and Florida. Those are very serious. And if those were cranked in, it would be a very different formula. So all of those issues are still hanging out there.
And so is that candidacy with a lot hanging on, what, 1 week from today. Fingers crossed, Pat?
Fingers are crossed. My eyes, too, at this point. Yeah.
Fingers and eyes. Pat Schroeder, 24 years in the Congress, now president and CEO of the Association of American Publishers. Great talking with you. Thank you very much for joining
us
today.
Thank you.
Let's hear a little bit more from this weekend. Here's Conan O'Brien giving his own twist on how gender is playing out on the campaign trail. This is from, I guess, Tuesday, the opening monologue.
Good news for Barack Obama. That's right. The true story. The founders of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream are endorsing Barack Obama instead of Hillary Clinton. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, which makes sense. Which makes sense because Baracky Road is a catchier name for an ice cream than pantsuits and cream.
Funny. Sexist? I don't know. Greta is calling from East Boston, Massachusetts. Greta, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Oh. Wonderful program today. I am a black woman and a conservative who ended up directly because of the attacks on Senator Clinton, voting for her. And I could not imagine, as a black woman, any context that would not provoke our legitimate outrage were any of the comments that are made about Senator Clinton made about Senator Obama. And ultimately, not only did I cross party lines for this, but I crossed, I guess you could say, gender lines. Mm. In that so many people said to me, oh, well, of course, as a black woman, you'll be voting for Senator Obama, in itself offensive. But the real sense of violence against this woman is just deafening. And very more than just disheartening, as was mentioned, it's really depressing.
But Greta, let me ask you, we hear that, we've dipped into some of it a little bit, but last night I sat on a panel with Ida Lewis, 73 years old, was editor-in-chief of Essence magazine, black woman who's been around and seen a lot. And, you know, she said, yes, she's sympathetic to wanting to see a woman in the White House. But for her, as a black woman of 73, this campaign, Barack Obama's progress in this campaign is the most moving political event of her lifetime. She just can't resist it. What do you say to that, Greta?
Well, I mean, I guess I should add, although I live here in Massachusetts now, I'm from the Deep South. I'm actually from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I will add to this, you know, as someone who's very much the great-granddaughter of Jim Crow, et cetera, I just don't find it all that much under the topic of change to have a Harvard-educated lawyer be our change. Sorry, and I'm a Harvard-educated girl, so I just, you know, that doesn't really represent change to me. What represents change is experience, What Rutherford's change is proven dedication to excellence in legislation. What represents change is competence. You know, as Robin Morgan said, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton not because she's a woman, but because I am.
Greta, stick with us. Ellen Goodman, I know you've been around this track. I remember, you know, working at the Boston Globe with you in the days when white women and black employees were practically at one another's throats once in a while over whose grudges needed attention more urgently. So how do you feel when we've got history potentially made on two fronts here, Ellen, and kind of competing?
Well, I think you just remade history a little, Tom.
There you go again. Okay.
I don't remember that, but it certainly among the, if you forgive my neutral word of disheartening things, is to see two groups who both do have historic claims on this candidacy, you know, at each other. I mean, I think Bill Clinton said that wonderful comment that he made in a church when he said he'd been waiting his whole life to vote for an African-American man. He'd been waiting his whole life to vote for a woman, and now, you know, was God messing with his head, you know, that this was a choice that was before them. And I think that a lot of people find both of these candidacies compelling on the grounds of being path-breaking. You know, what Pat Schroeder was saying earlier about the testosterone quality of the candidate, you know, it's also true that in some ways Obama has been the estrogen candidate. He's been the Oprah candidate. And Hillary has tried to, you know, get some of the testosterone that she feels is necessary, that she felt was necessary, that I agree with her was necessary to be running to break that black ceiling. At the same time, oddly enough, Obama took on the language of collaboration and the language of being a postpartisan society, and can't we all come together, and aren't we uniters, not dividers? It's also ironic because, of course, as a senator, Hillary Clinton was well known for being a collaborative worker across party lines. It's also ironic because the Clintons, if you remember, in 1992, came into office as kind of postpartisan third way. That was his presidency campaign, and then they ran into the right wing propeller. They ran into the propeller of partisanship. So if she doesn't see a way out, if she doesn't believe in a postpartisan world, it's understandable.
Greta, thanks for your call.
Let
me get one more here from Judy in Acton, Massachusetts. Judy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for this show and this amazing panel you've put together. I am horrified by the personal attacks on Hillary, yet I don't think she is the woman that we should be having be the first woman in office. I think she has a lot of baggage with her that personally prevents me from voting
like
for
what?
Her. First off is her name, Clinton. She brings with her husband, who during campaigning says things like, when we get to the White House, and we've already had a vice president who is sort of a shadow president, and I want everything to be open and upfront in the next presidency. And in addition to that is, it seems to me that she has a hard time admitting her mistakes. You look at her vote on the Iraq War and the way she's moved away from that and has never done like John Edwards did and came out and said, I made a mistake. I should never have voted for that war. You know, her approach is more to point outward and blame others rather than to own her vote and say, it was wrong, I would never do that again. And so for me, that's disconcerting, following a president who can't admit his mistakes. So those two issues are first and foremost, but I have a long list.
Judy, we hear it, a critique there on the merits. And still, there stands the question of sexual politics. We thank you for your call. When we return, Geraldine Ferraro. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. 1 week before the big primaries in Texas and Ohio, we're looking at gender and the Clinton campaign and asking if sexism has been a significant factor in the 08 race. We've been joined by Ellen Goodman, columnist for the Boston Globe, Katha Pollitt, columnist for The Nation. We're joined now from New York by Geraldine Ferraro. She was first elected to Congress from New York's 9th Congressional District in Queens in 1978, served three terms in the House of Representatives. She made history in 1984 when she was chosen as Walter Mondale's running mate. They lost to Ronald Reagan in the general election, but on July 19, 1984, in San Francisco at the Democratic National Convention, she made history with these words.
I proudly accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
Geraldine Ferraro in 1984. In 2008, she joins us from New York. Geraldine Ferraro, welcome.
Thank you very much, Tom.
You're supporting Hillary Clinton's candidacy. How do you think it's doing, and how do you see how gender has played out in this campaign season?
Well, I was reading an article a while back about two women who were commenting about what was happening in Maine, and one woman said, I could never vote for a woman, and the other woman said, I could never vote for a black, and as the one walked away who said that she could never vote for a black, the woman who said she could never vote for a woman was very embarrassed, and she said, I'm really embarrassed for my friend, she's a bigot. the thing about it is, this woman who is a sexist doesn't realize that she's a bigot as well, and that's what's you've seen happening in this campaign. I think the media has been a disaster as far as Hillary is concerned. The most egregious people are people. I don't pay any attention to Fox News because everybody knows where they're coming from. Sean Hannity hates Hillary. He's been doing this whole thing for years, You kind of know that. But when you expect people to be fair, when you expect them to be real reporters, and then when they take a position and try to destroy a candidate, as Tim Russert has done, as Chris Matthews has done. And by the way, I've stopped Chris Matthews and talked to him about this. You know, certainly Tim Russert knows where I stand on this. I saw the other day where we had, and the CNN as well, where Wolf Blitzer had the night before the Wisconsin primary, had the Wisconsin governor on, really blasting Hillary because he's a supporter of, obviously, Barack Obama. And then when it's all over, Wolf turned around and said, tomorrow night we're going to have Hillary Clinton's, someone representing her campaign on. P.S., the election was the next day. What were you going to have him on at night to present her views? So I wrote a very angry email to him as well. I just find how the media has handled this thing. And in some ways they've encouraged the sexism. They put a spin on virtually every single story. If this morning there was a comment, let's see which Hillary we're going to see in the debate tomorrow. Excuse me, it's not which Hillary. We're all very complex human beings. If we put on one face for a campaign, inspirational, angry, if it's only one face, how in God's name are we going to deal with the problems of this country and this world if we are not able to respond like intelligent human beings to each issue as they arise?
So when she puts her hand on Obama's arm in the last debate and says how honored she is to be campaigning with him, even if against him, and the next day she's saying, shame on you, Barack Obama, that's just the way the game is played? That's just politics?
No, I think you're missing it, too.
Okay.
The issue is that I don't think it's anything wrong. I was honored, to be quite frank, to be on the same stage with George Bush in 1984.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, here I am debating the President of the United States. Did I agree with him for one single minute on any of the things he was doing? No. And did there come a time when I turned around, as much as I felt honored that I was there, then I turned around and said, stop patronizing me? I mean, there comes a time when you react as human beings. We don't react to our own families in exactly the same way under different circumstances. Why would we expect that in a leader?
No, we know Chris Matthews apologized for saying that she was a candidate, maybe a front runner, because her husband had messed around. This was all kind of a payback to Hillary Clinton for the trouble that she'd seen. And he apologized for that. But what about Tim Russert? You're saying he was biased because he was tough on her in his debate moderation?
Did you see the debate in 2000 here in New York when she was debating Rick Lazio? Tim Russert was moderating it. He could have been on the stage. He considers himself almost the third candidate when you watch these things. I watched that Philadelphia debate that took place when Hillary was the front runner. He led the attack. It was, again, as if he were on the stage with the candidates. It was so bad for 2 hours, in case you don't recall, this is the Philadelphia debate, so bad for 2 hours that Bill Richardson said, enough already, this is getting too personal. Everybody was attacking her. Barack Obama the next day said, well, you know, I was attacked for 15 minutes and I didn't raise race, I didn't raise how I look, and I assume he was not referring to the fact that he was male. I assume he was referring to the fact that his race was there, which, of course, he did raise it by that comment. He said, I didn't raise how I looked as an excuse. Excuse me, there's a difference, which you'll forgive me for being sexist, but maybe a lot of guys don't know the difference between 15 minutes and 2 hours.
Geraldine Farrell, let me just ask you straight up then. If Hillary Clinton does not win this nomination, are you saying it's because of media sexism?
No, I'm saying that it is a part of what's going on. I also believe that in many instances, Barack Obama has gotten a free ride on a lot of things because, you know, if you accuse somebody of sexism, as I did after the Philadelphia debate in an article in the New York Times, Adam McGurney interviewed me, when I said this was sexist, God, I have to tell you, I got beaten up. People won't raise that issue. Whereas I have to tell you, at the drop of a hat, if you say something about Barack Obama, people accuse you of being racist. I mean, it becomes a mantra. So, you know, what's happened is I think they've been treated differently. I think both sexism and racism are wrong. But I honestly believe that if she were treated as fairly as he has been treated, that we would have a different race going on now.
Geraldine Farrell, we have a lot of people who want to speak with you. Let me bring in Kelly from Cedar Falls, Iowa, if I may. Kelly, you're on the air with Geraldine Farrell.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello to your guest. I just wanted to say that I work in the field of heavy equipment operations.
Okay.
And when the sexist card is brought up, it just makes it harder for those of us out here, for the men I work with, start saying that women expect it to be easier on us because we're going to pull out that excuse right away. It really upsets me. I am voting for Barack Obama for many of the reasons that your last caller brought up. I don't like the way Hillary's voted in the Senate. I don't feel that she's been treated any differently than him in any of the debates. Politics. It's going to be hard. I don't know, you know, why people expect anyone to be any easier on her than they are on any of the other candidates.
Geraldine Farrell, what do you say to
that? Can I respond to that? Well,
yes,
well,
please.
For one thing, it's not unusual that you have a woman who is in a man's profession and who is succeeding in that profession, forgetting the fact that she is in that profession has been due to a lot of hard work, like Patricia Schroeder, myself, and a bunch of other women in the Congress.
Are you talking about Kelly, the heavy equipment operator, or Hillary? Or,
yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, 25, 30 years ago, she couldn't get a job like that. And the reason is because the Civil Rights Act is there, because Title VII is there, because Title IX is there. All of these things that prohibit discrimination against women. I gave a little talk to a bunch of people in Florida rather recently at our club. There were like 16 men, two of whom were Democrats, the others were all Republicans. And I was talking about sexism in this race. And one guy said to me, you know, what are you talking about? When I went to law school, he said, it was very different. He said, there were only 6 women in my class. He said, I graduated in 1966. He said, today, he said, there's, you know, 50% of the class are female. And I said, I hate to admit this, but I'm older than you. I said, I graduated law school in 1960, and there were only 2 women in my class. And I said, let me just ask you something. Do you really think that all of a sudden the people in the law schools and the admissions office got up one day and said, this is unfair. Let's straighten this all out. Let's take down the barriers for women. Let's allow them in and to compete on an equal playing field. I said, did you think that just happened because they were being good guys? I said, it happened because of, and I went through the Civil Rights Act, Title VII. I said, that's why it happened. I said, nobody is pulling down these barriers. And this woman who just called the heavy equipment, you know, what is her concern? It's more what these guys are going to say to her about, oh, you're raising that gender guard. Come on, guys. What you don't like is you don't like the recognition that it exists. And sometimes we just sit there and we just say, oh, well, we're not going to open our mouths. If people didn't open their mouths, if the women leaders who are in the Congress of the United States, and I'm talking about both parties, both parties, if those women leaders did not open their mouths for the past 25, 30 years, she would not have the job that she has now, and she wouldn't be able to have to put up with the complaints of her colleagues, who are saying to her that this is sexist and we really think you want more. No, We just want doors open. We wanted those doors open so that she could apply for the job, and if she was competent, do the job.
Is it harder to confront, to complain about sexism than about racism?
Sure it is, because you get that kind of reaction. You get women responding the same way. And by the way, with reference to how Hillary voted, I want to tell you something. That the woman's, those are people who really don't know how legislation is passed. When you get an issue that is brought to you, and they say to you, this is the information you have, and you've done everything that you have.
You're talking about the Iraq War vote,
then. She voted the way she should have, based upon the information. She was voting because the security of our country was threatened, and she was voting to give the president authority to deal with it. Now, you know, I love the fact that Barack Obama says he was against it. He was in the state Senate 3 years ago, for goodness sakes. He had no voice. He had no information.
Well, but he was against it. He did set up and give a speech with his voice in opposition to it. There is that.
Yeah, but tell me what impact that has on the future of this country. And what if you take a look? I don't know how he would have voted, because he voted 140 times present. Mm. In the state Senate.
Yeah, whenever we understand the Illinois state procedures. Kathy Pollard, I hear you there.
Yeah,
yes,
hi. I just hesitate so much to break into Geraldine Ferraro, because I just admire her so terribly much. But I just want to say, you know, there are true feminists who are on both sides of who should be the candidate. And I just want to mention that, you know, Kate Michelman, former head of NARAL, is for Barack Obama. Fran Kissling, head of Catholics for a Free Choice, is for Barack Obama. I don't think it's really
accurate to say... Well, first, I'm not saying that all feminists should support Hillary. I don't say that at all. That's one of the nice things about who and what we've done over the years, is we all have our own opinions. We pick our candidates based upon what they are. But don't point to Kate Michelman to me. Kate Michelman actually went to Hillary's campaign at the very beginning of this whole thing and tried to get a job. It didn't work. They had Judy Lichtman, you know, is on.
That's pretty rough. I mean, she still has to.
Well, no. And then what happened was she did go to the Edwards campaign. Have we missed that little piece in between there? Mm-hmm. She supported Edwards. She got a job with Edwards campaign. She was very, very active. And every time something came up on choice, you know, especially on this issue, now she's now supporting Barack Obama. I don't know if she's on part of the campaign staff or she's just supporting it, giving her support to it. But she raised the issue that he was 100% pro-choice. I'm sorry. I went to the mat more than once. I am a Catholic. I damn near got excommunicated by my church for my position on choice. I did not, and I could have. I could have done six times every time a difficult choice vote came up. I could have voted present in the Congress of the United States. I didn't. And he did. So he's not 100% pro-choice. Whenever it becomes a difficult issue, he kind of votes present or voted. I don't think he does it now in the Congress, because it's really not acceptable.
Well, it's a different venue. But Ellen Goodman, is this race going to leave politically plugged in women bitterly divided over what happened?
I wondered while I was listening what this race would have been like if there had been two or three women in it rather than one yet again. And could we have gotten past all the questions of gender to the questions of the individual woman, you know, what it would have been like? I also think what is being spoken to right now is, if Obama wins, and if, in my view, he takes, you know, Ohio and Texas, he will be the candidate, how he will reach out to a large number of women who will be disappointed that their dream of having the first woman president has been squashed, and that there has been in it, whether from the media or from the general population, a great deal of anti-woman, of sexism, in it, and that women will feel, God, does this mean that we're never going to get there, that we're being pushed back? Katha says, and she has a good point, that, you know, maybe it's just another step on the road, but, you know, to those of us who are getting a little long in the tooth, the road may not get there in my lifetime. So the question is to me, one of the interesting questions is what Obama will do to reach out to those. I mean, the first post-polarization candidate, the first task may be to reach out to those disaffected disappointed, I should say. These are women who are good Democrats and will no doubt vote for him, but there's a difference between voting for him and these women who have been the stalwarts of the party, who have worked, you know, this reliable, older female Democratic population.
With the shoulder to the wheel. Geraldine,
and he has done extremely little so far, in from what I have seen, to actually reach out to that population.
And yet you've written about his manner itself, which may be a kind of reach out. But Geraldine Farrar, what about it? First of all, does Barack Obama, if it doesn't work out for Hillary, can he bring in that sector that Ellen Goodwin's talking about? And secondly, what does it mean for women and politics in this country if this candidate, Hillary Clinton, doesn't make it to the nomination?
Well, let me start with two things. One thing.
We've just got a minute. I'm sorry to say.
I'm sorry. God, I wish I had gotten here earlier. Hillary, this is not just a dream that people have. I mean, this is something that we have worked for. Women's political leadership does make a difference for women in this country. And you can see that in all the legislation that's been passed in the past 35, 40
years.
Yeah,
we got it.
Okay? That's number one. Number two, Ellen, you say if there were three women in this race, to be quite frank, if Barack Obama were a woman, he would not be a credible candidate. They would look at his background and say, "You got to be kidding me."
If he were a white woman, do you mean, or what?
I don't care what color he would be. He would not have the credibility he has. I don't care.
And in 10 seconds, if Hillary doesn't make it, what does it mean for women?
Well, I think what's going to happen is a lot will depend upon how they feel about the issues and whether or not they feel that having a woman in the White House is important, and a lot depends upon who John McCain picks for his running mate. If he picks a woman, it's going to leave a lot of women sitting there saying, okay, so what do we do?
Geraldine Farrar, it's an honor to have you. I hope we can have you again. We'll find more minutes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Democratic VP nominee in 1984, Ellen Goodman with the Boston Globe, Katha Pollitt with The Nation. You're great, both of you. We thank you very much for being here today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.